We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, October 23rd, 2020. It's a red Friday for you because the Chiefs play the Broncos on Sunday. So thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. We appreciate it. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the 80-degree weather yesterday because it is gone, and I do not know if and when it will return. So hopefully you got out there and stretched your legs and enjoyed the sun like I did yesterday. A nice long walk and enjoy the beautiful weather and the beautiful sunshine. And now the fall and the weather, the fall and the winter weather are here to stay. And so we'll get to Gary Lezak's weekend forecast a little bit later and find out when it's going to snow in Kansas City, and more importantly for the Chiefs, when is it going to snow in Denver. We'll talk to Stan Weber. We'll also have our Border Patrol Blitz, and finally we get Mizzou and Kansas State and Kansas in action all together on the same Saturday. We'll also talk to Mike McFarland about World Series Game 3 that you can listen to tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kevin Ioli, our man who covers combat sports for Yahoo, who joins us all the time. He'll talk to us about the fallout from the victory by Teofimo Lopez over Vasily Lomachenko, and preview the big UFC pay-per-view card that's taking place with Khabib, the GOAT, the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the UFC, and, well, the best mixed martial artist in the world. He will be fighting Justin Gaethje in a hotly anticipated main event, and the pay-per-view card takes place in the afternoon. So that's going to be interesting. So right in the middle of a college football afternoon, you get to watch your UFC pay-per-view if that's what you're looking forward to. So we'll talk to Kevin Ioli about that as well. And we'll have plenty of sound from the Kansas City Chiefs. The coordinator spoke yesterday, and we'll get you ready for Chiefs and Broncos. As for last night, look, it's a standalone. You know, I guess we're supposed to watch that and enjoy it. Yeah, I mean, it appeared to me that both opponents were poorly coached, poorly prepared. I mean, you're watching that and you're thinking, is this really the best? Is this the best we can do on a Thursday night standalone? It was hard to watch at times. A lot of times you wanted to look away. You wanted to change a channel. You're watching this and like, do these guys even know what they're doing? Well, enough about the debate. Thursday night football was also pretty tough to watch as well, but let's go NFC East. You've got the showcase, and you are, boy, do you shine when you've got the stage to yourself. The Eagles find a way to get it done 22-21. Hey, that's football. That's what the promo should be when they're preparing to showcase an NFC East matchup. Hey, it's football. Okay. NFL football. Isn't it fun? But the Eagles find a way to get it done. The Giants, man, oh man. 1-6 now. Who'd have thunk they'd have struggled so much when they hired Joe Judge as coach, you know? I just feel like you keep going to the Belichick tree, and apparently at some point it'll bear fruit. I don't know when, but it's going to, I think. You know, you just got to keep, you got to keep at it. You got to keep hiring his assistants until every assistant has had a chance to fail in the NFL as a head coach. And I think maybe that's where we're headed. But always good to see a longtime Bill Belichick assistant get a crack at failing in the NFL. And so far, Joe Judge, he hasn't disappointed, has he? He's following through on all the promise. of course you'd want him as your head coach instead of Eric Bieniemy. Makes perfect sense to me, and now you're seeing why the Giants were able to. Yeah, you know what? You've got to give them kudos to be able to do that, to be able to shun recent history and look at the facts on paper and say, you know what? Let's go back to Double B and see if we can get another assistant coach that'll be fired in just 2 or 3 years.
You got to give him some kudos for being able to do that.
Do I know if that's going to happen with Joe Judge? No, but it sure feels like if you're looking to bet Jake Pounders, bet on him to be on the hot seat in about I don't know, year and a half or two after this thing continues to fall apart. So I just like to.
I think they got the quarterback figured out though there in New York.
Do they?
No, I don't know. He can't figure out how to run the ball into the end zone.
Hey, he'd been running for a long way, man.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry. That made watching that game every second worth it. Like, once that happened, I was like, yep, that's why I sat my ass down in this chair and I've been glued to this TV for that. For that. Thank you. I enjoyed that. I'm sorry. That's fantastic.
That is the power of the NFL, because I was surprised that so many people. Well, you know, and a lot of people lie. Some people weren't watching the game and just started retweeting it and acted like they were watching it. It's hard to believe that many people were sitting down and invested in that matchup last night. But it is the NFL.
Yep.
And it is Thursday night. But my head was not in that game. I'll be honest with you. I'd love to come on the show today and give you a full report on Giants and Eagles. But I'm not going to.
That's why you got Pounders, though, right?
Number one, I cannot express to you enough how little I care about the Giants. I've never liked watching the New York Giants, and so when they have one win halfway through the season, that gives me even more reasons not to watch. And the Eagles aren't much better. Although I do normally like watching the Philadelphia Eagles. I like. Carson Wentz. I don't mind him. Let's just put it this way. Not two of the most entertaining teams, but sometimes when you put crap together, you get something glorious. But I will admit I was watching the debate last night. I joked and had some fun there at the beginning, and you know, maybe my description was accurate, but I was watching the debate very closely, considering it was the last one before the election. And I was not compelled to watch too much of the Giants and Eagles. However, the run that you're referencing, the run to daylight for Daniel Jones that was halted just by, well, he started to get a little tired. He started to run out of gas. And then there was too much green grass in front of him.
I too much gravity. Too much gravity for him. The gravity.
Yeah, everyone loved it. I mean, it was. We'll be watching that play for years to come. After that, I don't know what the hell you call that. One of the greatest runs in NFL history. Would you go that far?
I mean, one of the most memorable.
Right. Right. Even Patrick Mahomes said, "Look, I'm not gonna say anything. I'd have trouble running that far." So. Boy, Jake really likes that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm playing it on the TV on the 38th the spot. We just showed it. I'm just disappointed they actually got in the end zone. That's my biggest disappointment.
Yeah, because that takes like the only way that would have been really, really great,
right,
is if they lose the game by one, but on that drive they didn't get it.
Right, they didn't score. They went for it on fourth and they didn't get it, or they had to end up with a field goal and lose.
Turn it over, something.
Right.
Yeah.
That was they didn't completely absolutely flop. But
I mean, that would have been that would have that would have shattered the record book. That would have been 92 yards. Still an 80-yard run from a quarterback, but he would have had a 92-yard touchdown run.
Steve Bono would have stayed on his feet.
He did stay on his feet.
That's right.
Although there was really no one chasing him at all. whatsoever in the screen. And maybe just the pressure was too much for Daniel Jones. But Philadelphia wins 22-21. Any other comments on that NFC East showdown?
Well, I was actually watching it closely. As you know, I had Carson Wentz going last night. And so I was watching it with a rooting interest. And the Philadelphia wide receivers suck. My gosh. I don't have any of them, so I haven't really paid attention to those guys.
Decimated, though. They drafted Rieger, who was supposed to be. I mean, they are just riddled with injury.
Yeah, they're like their third string.
Right.
Yeah,
they've invested. They've invested in the position. They just been. I mean, crap luck.
They have Zach Ertz and they have Dallas Goedert at tight end, and so of course
out.
With both of those guys unavailable, you have Richard Rodgers, who was the leading receiver, 6 catches for 85 yards. I mean, listen to the names: Travis Fulgham, John Hightower, Boston Scott, Greg Ward. Those are your as far as yards, your top receivers last night. Until you get to DeSean Jackson, who's a shell of his former
and left the game with an injury.
Yeah, and so I guess that's maybe. Comment in the plus category for Carson Wentz, considering what he's throwing to right now.
I mean, that throw that he had to win the game, man, that was a hell of a throw.
And that was to Boston Scott, the running back.
The backup running back.
You know, you talk about that. But
the backup running back.
He threw, I can't remember, I want to say it was in the third quarter, but he threw a perfect ball to the corner of the end zone, and I think it was Fulgham. I can't remember. One of the guys one of the receivers for Philadelphia, not only did he let it go right through the middle of his hands, it was like one of those drop it over the shoulder into the corner of the end zone type passes. It went right through his hands, and he put both feet out of bounds. And it made me realize again how much we might sometimes take for granted how good all of the skill position players are for the Chiefs. Because how many times when Patrick Mahomes puts a ball in the corner of the end zone like that the other day, Travis Kelce catches it and gets both feet in bounds. And you just get to the point where you start to think, and when you watch the Seahawks, it seems like every time Russell Wilson throws a perfect ball in a place like that, unless his wide receiver decides to drop it on his way into the end zone because he's showboating, they catch the ball and they get both of their feet down, which is a really, really hard thing to do, to be laser focused on the ball, but also have the positional awareness to know exactly where your feet need to be. But you see it enough from good receivers at the NFL level that you just kind of start to think, okay, if you hit a receiver in the hands in the NFL, he's going to catch it. And if it's anywhere near the sideline, he's going to know where it is because he's run that route a million times and he's going to get his feet down. And that one was like, that guy didn't catch it and he didn't get his feet in. and there were several plays like that through the game, and he still ended up throwing for like 360 yards, 359.
And rushing for
and ran for touchdown. I mean, good fantasy day. But I was, like, to your point, Stephen, I know Carson Wentz has been criticized a lot this year, and I can't sit here and say that I've watched every snap of every Eagles play, but I watched a lot of that game last night pretty closely, and I think he probably deserves, my takeaway is he deserves a little bit more credit for what he's got around him to be putting up numbers like that.
Jake?
Yeah, I mean, look, part of the reason he's criticized so heavily is because he's in Philadelphia and there's their rabid fan base. But he's fighting with one arm behind his back. I mean, he's got a third string tight end. He's got a backup running back. He's got his fourth, fifth, sixth string wide receivers, and he still finds a way to win that game with, I mean, the Giants completely, I mean, Evan Engram had a horrible drop that should have been, it should have locked the game away in the fourth quarter. So the Giants participated, and it wasn't great football. It was, you know, at times, like you said, Stephen, hard to watch. But I was locked in, and it's just, for whatever reason, you look at the bottom of the score line, it's one team's 1-4-1, the other one's 1-5. I mean, it's just, it's bad football, but I'm all for it. I'll tune into that. I'll watch it. I mean,
entertaining game.
Yeah.
Close game down the wire.
I was pretty pissed that it was down the wire because I'm sitting there wanting to go to bed, and, you know, it's like this game is still in hand. Like, and then they come back and win. I'm like, glad I didn't go to bed.
I got a whole bunch of Philadelphia Eagles fans mad at me on a Zoom call last night, and Got a few of them to hang up on me. If that makes you feel good.
Why are you on? Should we ask that question?
So our old producer, the guy that was our producer when I worked on the Royals broadcasts, turned 50, and they had a surprise 50-year birthday party for him. And he's from Philadelphia, huge Eagles fan. And half the guys that got on the birthday party Zoom were Eagles fans. And a bunch of them went to Villanova. And so Joe, our producer, said to me at one point, "Hey, Bucati, you got to be glad that the NCAA tournament got canceled this year, so you have to get beat by Villanova again." And I said, "Yeah, cool, guys. I'm going to jump off so you can get back to watching your bad football team maybe sneak their way into the playoffs with a below 500 record while I'm going to go watch your old coach take us to the Super Bowl again." And they got really mad.
What an a-hole.
Right. dig on the Jayhawks, come back with the Chiefs. I'm not going to complain about it. But, I mean, they do have a point. I mean, Villanova kind of owns
KU. What was the problem with what they said?
What was the problem with what I said?
Because one of them was true.
Well, I think what I said was true.
I mean, they got a pretty shiny ring recent history. I don't know.
And they came back and won that game, so it's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, they're 2-4-1.
Well, what a snob.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I'm sorry, but you come off as the a-hole.
Now I know why they hung up on you.
I mean, absolutely.
Now, what else is new?
I'd have been kind of mad, to be honest with you, if you'd have done that. Well, you really changed with all the quarantine and everything else. Just on Twitter and everything, you are, boy.
Salty.
You're very aggressive. Yeah, salty is the word. That's a great word to describe you, Nate, now salty. Well, what happened on the social media and everything? I mean, you're very, I think you're very nice, and how would you describe his demeanor on the show?
Thoughtful.
Very receptive.
I mean, you're thoughtful, dude.
Open-minded. I just feel like there's a switch that you flip now, and I thought it was just on Twitter, now on Zoom too.
The trash that you guys talk on our opponents when the Chiefs play, I figured you'd be proud of me for this, and I'm getting admonished.
I think the fuse is shorter.
I think that's what the pandemic is shortening the fuse.
I got no issues with the Eagles.
Well, that's the thing. I have a problem with Villanova because they keep kicking the crap out of the team I root for in basketball. But
I feel like there's like a connection with the Eagles, you know? We got their head coach. They got our offensive coordinator. Both won championships. They got a bar in Philly. They root for the Chiefs. It seems like they were rooting for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That's all. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you got it in for Philly?
No.
Is what you're telling me?
I think Nate's just, if you cut me, I'm going to cut you twice.
Yeah, you take a shot at me, I'm going to take a shot at your team. I feel like that's how it goes. That's not how trash talk works.
You get after Villanova, I thought. That's the only thing that caught me off guard. I mean, you know, they could have said something about the Phillies and the Royals.
But that's how awesome it is to have the Chiefs in your back pocket.
Well, what can I say? I'm an a-hole.
Yeah. Yep. Did you ruin the birthday Zoom?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, did people legitimately hang up from the Zoom?
No, a couple guys were like, "All right, I'm out of here. That's enough for me."
All right. And then they won the game, so
yeah. They're I don't have anything against the Eagles. I like the Eagles.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, good night.
Those comments, but I mean, we'll find. Hey, look, this has happened with Iowa. It's happened with several states and cities. It's always an educational process to find out who you talk trash against. Nate Bucati, very salty and aggressive on social media and Zoom calls. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll have Stan Weber, and let's see if we can get the fangs to come out from Nate Bucati on Stan Weber. It's Sunflower Showdown. Now, this is where you need to talk the talk.
I've got no ammo. I've got zero ammo. Are.
No, you can go to basketball real quick.
No.
I'm not allowed.
You're the Chiefs.
All I got.
You went from basketball to Chiefs. I mean, you jump sports. You jump from the college to the pros.
Just cut them with the Cowboys.
You can go from college football to college basketball. That's an easy transition.
Cut them with the Cowboys.
You got plenty of enemies.
I have nothing. I'm no trash talk to Stan Weber.
Nate Bucati will tear into Stan Weber like a $3 steak. coming up after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Look forward to the challenge of playing the Broncos. We saw what they did back in New England and how much emotion they played with and the skill that they have. So we've got to have a good week of practice and get ourselves ready to go up there and play. So that's what we're starting on today as we gather back again. So with that, time's yours.
Well, here's the thing. You're only as good as your last performance. So our guys played as good as a game as they could have possibly played for that weekend. I thought the preparation was much better. The focus was better. I thought guys had a plan and they went out and executed their plan because of all the little things that we talked about, just having the right attitude and that determined mindset to take that field and go out and play up to the level of expectations that we expect them to play. But now it's about putting consistent behavior on tape. Now we're faced with another challenge. Now we got to go to Denver and play against a young up-and-coming defensive line group that's playing some pretty good ball up front. And one thing that our guys got to do is just make sure that, hey, you know, last week was last week. What we did is gone. Now it's time to flip the page and move on to the next chapter.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, October 23rd, 2020, Red Friday, Chiefs Broncos on Sunday. Let's talk some more football with Stan Weber, who joins us every Friday. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm good, Stephen. How are you today?
Doing good. Doing good. That was Eric Bieniemy talking about the offensive line. And let's start with Eric Bieniemy because there was a clip from his press conference yesterday that the Chiefs Twitter account put out there. And it just says, "Preach it, EB." And he's talking about players putting the team first and not worrying about the numbers. And it's about a minute clip. And, I mean, I saw Mahomes and Kelce and Tyreek Hill, a handful of the Chiefs' most prominent players retweet this and either talk about how much they love playing for Eric Bieniemy or just showing support for Eric Bieniemy. And then, you know, everyone from Lewis Riddick and several people in the national media. I saw Doug Farrar tweet out, "Stop hiring people like Adam Gase and start hiring coaches like this." And Lewis Riddick tweeted support. So it was almost like an organized effort once this clip went viral to remind people that Eric Bieniemy should be a head coach in the NFL. And I'm just curious, and people were tweeting about how much, this is a great example of the personality of Eric Bieniemy and who he is and why he should be a head coach. Let's play this, and I just went from a football perspective. Stan Weber, your thoughts on this clip that made its way around NFL Twitter yesterday from Eric Bieniemy. Jake, play it.
Sometimes professional sports have a tendency to think that it's all about the numbers and the egos, and sometimes I think people forget that we play a team game. This is what has made us special. Our guys are going to do whatever is needed to go out and win. Because when it's all said and done with, we talk about this each and every week. It's not about the numbers, okay? It's about the alphabets. And the only two alphabets that matter in this industry is a W and an L. Whatever we have to do to get that W, that's all what matters. And then you know what? We're going to come back, put a game plan together for the following week, and we're going to get it going and get ready to go. Yes, ideally we want all of our players to have all the success that they can. But we do know this. If we can do this together and do it for one another and do it the right way, okay, it'll give us a chance to have a chance to go out and pursue the goals that we want to pursue. Sometimes
That was Eric Bieniemy yesterday, and again, a lot of his players retweeting that and just showing their support for Eric Bieniemy as the coach that they love playing for, and then a lot of the national NFL media retweeting that and reminding people that this is the guy that should be number one on everyone's list as far as head coaching vacancies. I mean, it's a done deal. He's going to be a head coach. We just don't know where, but your thoughts on Eric Bieniemy and just maybe a little window into why players love him.
Well, he's played. He has a passion about it. He understands the effort it takes to be on the field, and that it's not just how they draw things up. It's how you play with emotion, just like the Chiefs' offensive line coming off the ball. Did you expect that group of guys to maul the Buffalo Bills? But if you can get a burr underneath your saddle, get fired up, and hit some people, your team looks very, very good. And so I think he understands those kind of things. Anytime you're an Andy Reid assistant, he does a great job of teaching them what they need to know to go to the next level, what kind of things they're going to experience when they get the head person's role. He's at a high level where they care about winning. I had this conversation yesterday with a group of people, and I said, the thing in the NFL, we were trying to list who we thought the best quarterbacks were. And then, you know, we'd meander back a little bit and use examples. And I said, well, let's just put it this way. In the NFL, when you get paid as much as you do, and you're so likely on most teams in the NFL to be between a 7-9 and 9-7 record, I don't think the quarterbacks take responsibility that record is their record. They're like, I'll do my best. I know it's going to be a close game at the end, and my team might be 7-9, 9-7. It's not up to me. It's up to the way the ball bounces, injuries, and those kind of things. And I'm going to go shake the hands of the other quarterback with my cap on. You know, I'm going to have my baseball cap on because that's what quarterbacks do. They're an entity all the time. We'll say, hey, see you at next year's golf tournament, you know, with the other quarterback. Where you think about the old days, you went and you didn't want to shake that guy's hand because you wanted to beat him so bad. I said, if you got someone who cares about winning still, with all the money they're getting and the way it's rolling in the National Football League, if you have that burning desire, you're going to find the most successful guys. How does Tom Brady still have a burning desire to win? And I think that is true of Eric Bieniemy. He's not just going through the motions and saying, I'm an offensive coordinator, now I want to be a head coach, I want to run an organization, and I'm going to make a lot of money, forever be known as a head coach in the National Football League, an amazing accomplishment. No, that's not what he's thinking about. What did he say? I don't care about the numbers. I care about winning. So to me, it's the same discussion I had yesterday. If you can keep the passion when you're in this industry to not just accept we win some, we lose some, hope we're 10-6 and go to the playoffs instead of 8-8 and don't and all those kind of things, that's very valuable. But I don't think there's very much of it in the NFL, and that's where he can distinguish himself. Eric Bieniemy cares about winning. He pushes the buttons of the players and says, you know, let's go. So I think that's valuable.
We have Stan Weber in studio. Nate, any comments on that clip from Eric Bieniemy?
It gets you excited. I mean, I think you can see the way that his players respond to it, too. And I was actually listening to an interview with a coach in a sport that'll cause an alarm to go off if I say
it. Let's do it. Say it. Come on.
Football
Friday. You take football. Let's go.
There's the greatest American to ever coach soccer in Europe is a young guy named Jesse Marsh, and he did an interview the other day, and he said if you're a coach out there and you want to coach, you should be coaching not because you want to drop X's and O's and because you think you can outsmart somebody on the field. You should be coaching because you want to have the ability to impact the lives of a group of people and help them grow as human beings and become more competitive and become more successful and learn how to connect on an inspirational level with the large group of people trying to work together to make something happen. And I just thought, bam, that's why Dick Vermeil could go coach swimming and diving to a state championship in Napa when he was the high school coach there, even though he'd never been a swimmer or a diver in his life. Because that part, yeah, like when you get to the NFL level, you have to have it all. I think if you're going to be that elite of a coach, you've got to be a good tactician like Andy Reid is, but you also have to know how to push buttons and how to connect with human beings the way Andy Reid does. And I think we at least know that part of Eric Bieniemy is spot on.
That was Eric Bieniemy again, and you can follow me at SSJWHB. I retweeted a bunch of comments about Eric Bieniemy's comments yesterday at his weekly media opportunity. Let's take a break. We've got Stan Weber to talk about the NFL, the Chiefs and Broncos, and some big games in the Big 12 and the SEC this weekend. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Look forward to the challenge of playing the Broncos. We saw what they did back in New England and how much emotion they played with and the skill that they have. So we've got to have a good week of practice and get ourselves ready to go up there and play. So that's what we're starting on today as we gather back again. So with that, time's yours.
Va por tierra otra vez, pero el engaño es con Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones se quiere ir. Se puede ir. Y se fue. No. El balón. pasó, vio la zona festiva y estaba celebrando.
That's how the call of that historic run by Daniel Jones sounded in Spanish. So hope you enjoyed that. Again, best run I've ever seen in NFL history from Daniel Jones last night. You missed it? Shame on you. Go look it up on Twitter. We've got Stan Weber in studio with us. Stan, did you see that run? Did you marvel at that run the way we did?
Well, I did not get to see the run as marveled. I saw the run as his face. They had a close-up of his face while he's running, and I realized that he didn't get all the way to the end zone. But, no, I've not seen it. I thought he probably just got caught from behind, and I know they scored a touchdown on the drive. So I was watching...
Show it to Stan. Let's get Stan's
live reaction. I was watching three things at once and listening to the volume of non-football, so that was kind of hard. Oh, and I was also working on the game for Saturday.
But this is better for us.
I haven't seen this run yet.
Oh, boy. Right. It's so good.
Stan, call it for us. What do you see here?
Hang on a second.
I don't see anything yet. I'm sorry.
Well, come on, Nate.
I'm sorry.
There used to be like five TVs on, and today there's one.
How about this? Stan and Nate and Stan call this game as play-by-play man and color commentator.
He one touches it over to the left. He heads it to the right.
Okay, here you go, Stan. All right, fakes the handoff. He rolls to his right, and there's an opening down the right-hand side. He's at the 50. He's got no one in front of him. He's at the 20 and stumbles down at the 10.
Yeah, he started leaning, too. Yeah. You could tell he was not going to make it.
He
made 15 yards after he was dying.
Yeah, that's almost like yards after contact. You know, yards after he lost his footing, he still got another 15. I like Stan. Oh. See, Stan's positive. Stan looks at it as a positive, says, hey, he still got another 15 yards even though he'd lost his balance.
Yeah. I wonder what he was going through his mind.
All been there.
As someone that has fallen many, many times in my life, as Jake knows, It's those falls where it happens like in slow motion almost, where you know you're falling down the stairs, you're grabbing for things, you can't stop the momentum, and you're just trying to brace for the impact. And like you said, Stan, he knew for at least 15 yards he was not going to make it. He was going to fall down. But
he was even lisping to the right like a ship,
right?
But he didn't fall on his face. He was like, whoa,
right.
Boom.
He was doing whatever he could to try to regain his balance.
I was actually glad for him that they scored a touchdown there, because then he can walk away and laugh at that, you know, as opposed
to... No one was happier for the touchdown than him. And no one's sadder than Jake.
Yeah,
I wanted an absolute failure.
You lost 22 to 21. It's because you cost your team 4 points on a wide open run.
Yes.
You think New York could have some fun with that today?
You think I could have fun with that today?
I'll bet you New York still is. I'm at the look of the
They're still finding a way to have some fun with
How far down is he on the back page of that paper?
Yeah,
is
the New York,
he's still falling.
is he like 75% of the way down listening to the right, or is he just starting to fall?
Oh, I'll tell you what, the thing that made me laugh the most, I retweeted, you can check out my Twitter account, at SSJWHB, somebody put together a special win probability as that run went along for the Giants. Look at that, Nate. You will laugh out loud at that. Now, Stan, let's touch on the Chiefs and Broncos here, and I want to play a clip or two for you. First, let's hear from Denver's quarterback, Kansas City Lee Summit native Drew Lock, who came back from injury last week, did not look good against New England, but the team still won. Drew Lock was asked what he learned from the game at Arrowhead last year that could help him in this game against Kansas City.
Yeah, well, I found out I can still throw the football in snow, so that was a big first one for me. Found out a lot about just who their players are on defense. It's always nice to be able to play that team. Well, this would be my first time, actually, but playing a team that you've already played, to where you know those guys, you know how they move, you kind of know how they think. I've seen Frank Clark rush the passer a couple times in that game. I've seen Chris Jones rush the passer a couple times that game. It's just you know what to be aware of. You got a good idea on who you think they are. Now they could come out and throw something completely different at us. But it's comfortable feeling to know that you've played this team before and you know what to kind of expect.
We'll play some more from Drew Lock and get Stan's reaction after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Look forward to the challenge of playing the Broncos. We saw what they did back in New England and how much emotion they played with and the skill that they have. So we've got to have a good week of practice and get ourselves ready to go up there and play. So that's what we're starting on today as we gather back again. So with that, time's yours.
Oh, without a doubt. It's apparent. It's been said, shoot, I probably had it told to me 3 or 4 times today, and we don't even get to be around each other. You know, we're doing all the virtual stuff. You hear it through virtual meetings, and it's being said. Be nice to maybe snap that streak, but it's definitely, it's definitely a known thing, and we're excited about giving that opportunity to be able to stop that.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That was Drew Lock when asked about the losing streak right now that Denver has against the Kansas City Chiefs, and if they are aware, and do they talk about the fact that isn't this wonderful to say, that the Broncos have lost 9 in a row to the Chiefs. But the Raiders, they erased a losing streak to the Chiefs. How powerful is that when you've got, I mean, you guys will experience that for the Sunflower Showdown when Kansas has to get over that mental hurdle that they have against Kansas State. For the Broncos, of course they're aware of it. Stan, 9 in a row, they know. They know who runs the AFC West, and so how big of a hurdle is that for them to try to get over, much less beating the Chiefs physically, mentally? That's a tough hill to climb for them.
No doubt about it. The mental side of it matters, and that's why you love winning division games. Not only does it put you to the top of the division, which automatically gets you a home game no matter what your record is, you play more games against your division team, so you're always going to have a better record if you can control the division. But just the psychological part of it, that's why at any point, even if you're a 13-3 team, you don't want to lose your division games. You want to continue to roll up wins and make them understand that, yes, NFL games are close, but when you get down to the end, just like the Eagles and Giants last night, most NFL games are close. It's just who's stronger mentally at the end, not just physically, but who believes they're going to win and who's going, uh-oh, I think we're going to lose. And it totally gets into your mind when you say something bad's going to happen. It always happens when we're playing the Chiefs. You remember being a Chiefs fan, even if you're not a player. You remember when John Elway walked out with 2 minutes left in the game, and no matter how bad he'd played all game, you knew he's going to drive down the field and score a touchdown, and the Chiefs are going to be in trouble. You saw it over and over and over again. Not so much with Peyton Manning, because he usually had the game under control, but John Elway many times played against very good Chiefs teams, and they were in trouble until about 4 or 5 minutes left, and he went and won the game. So that's the kind of thing where the Chiefs know that they have the upper hand. It's important.
And now they feel that way about Patrick Mahomes when he walks on the field. They know that they are screwed. We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Look forward to the challenge of playing the Broncos. We saw what they did back in New England and how much emotion they played with and the skill that they have. So we've got to have a good week of practice and get ourselves ready to go up there and play. So that's what we're starting on today as we gather back again. So with that, time's yours.
Thank you for watching us on 38th The Spot all week long. We've got Stan Weber in studio right now. Then we're going to talk to Gary Lezak, get the forecast. The Border Patrol Blitz will preview the weekend in college football. Mike McFarland will preview Game 3 of the World Series. You can listen to right here tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kevin Ioli will preview the big UFC pay-per-view tomorrow afternoon. And we'll have plenty of sound from yesterday's media opportunities at Arrowhead Stadium. All that and more between now and 10 o'clock right here on this Red Friday, Football Friday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.